If you would, turn into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As you can see, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper today. And I thought it fitting to speak about that again as well. Again, hopefully we take this time, not only just a serious time, but a special time of celebration for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And hopefully we'll remind you of a few things of what we are celebrating as we come to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll begin reading verse number 17 and we'll read to the end of this chapter. Paul writes, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." This morning I'm going to preach on this subject, how to come to the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. God, again, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have, first and foremost, to have your word before us. Lord, there are so many people that don't have your scriptures in their tongue or language, or they don't have the availability to it. But Lord, we have that here, and Lord, we're so thankful for this word that we can open up each and every day, and Lord, collectively, as we come together on Sunday to learn and study from it. Lord, we're thankful for the message of Jesus Christ, which it tells us about, Lord, and the salvation that we can have freely through his death on Calvary's cross. Lord, we're thankful for the abundant Christian life that we can have through him as we go throughout the rest of this life. Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to strive to have that abundant life by living for you, living life of holiness for you. Lord, I pray especially as we come to this time of the Lord's Supper that we will take this time and the opportunity given to us to remember all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray it would motivate us and move us to love you more and to serve you more with our lives. Lord, again, I pray that you would be with the teaching that will be from your word today. I pray it would be a help unto your people, that we should be all that we can be for you according to your word. Lord, again, I ask that you bless this time that we have together. I pray again for the preaching and teaching of your word. May it be for your honor and your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. How should we come to the Lord's Supper? The first thing that I see here in our text is that we should come to the Lord's Supper often. Look at verses 25 and 26. I like what the apostle records Jesus as saying and what he says himself there in verse number 26. Again, verse 25, he quotes the Lord. And what does the Lord say? This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The word oft here means often, frequently, not rarely. In verse 26, Paul adds his own commentary to what the Lord has said, and he says this, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The word often here means frequently, many times, not seldom. So Jesus and Paul both tell us the same thing. We should come to the Lord's Supper often, meaning not rarely, not seldom, but frequently. That then begs the question, how often is often? How often should we observe and come to the Lord's Supper? Well, I think the first place and a good place for us to start is to look back at the early church. And if you study the book of Acts, I am at least convinced that the early church celebrated the Lord's Supper on a daily basis. To me, this is seen in Acts chapter 2, verse number 46. However, by the time you get to Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, it seems like the Lord's Supper seemed to be a weekly occurrence within the early church. The Bible says on the first day of the week. Now again, as you study the Bible, there's no explicit command for how often you are to do it. But again, as we look at the early church and we look at the words of Jesus and of Paul, we have to come to the conclusion that it should be often. Whether that be on a weekly basis, whether that be on a monthly basis, this is what our church does, or whatever basis it's done in, it should be done in a often and frequent and not rare instance. Here in our church, we try to observe the Lord's Supper once a month. That goes back and forth between the different services. This month will be in the morning service. Next month will be in the evening service. And then we go back to the morning service. But some churches do it more often than that, once a week, and that's fine. Whatever the case is, Paul says, Jesus says, do it oft. Do it often. We should come to the Lord's Supper. We should observe and remember the Lord often. But not only does the Bible say we should do it oft, but we should also come to the Lord's Supper with love for others. This is interesting as we read this series of verses of what was going on in the Corinthian church. I want to read verses 18 through 22 again, and we'll talk just a little bit. Not going to get into it too deeply, but talk about what was going on in the Corinthian church and how it showed no love for others. Verse 18, Paul says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." What Paul is saying there is, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. Verse 21, "For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." What? "Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." And we read there in verse number 18, Paul has to deal with the subject of strife and division often with the Corinthian believers. As we've gone through the book of 1 Corinthians, the book starts off with this subject in chapter 1. Paul has to talk about the many divisions that were going on amongst this group of believers. The word division here literally refers to the idea of tearing or cutting. So these believers were coming together, and there was divisions going on. There was tearing and cutting. Now, this is not the good tearing and cutting that comes when iron sharpeneth iron. We know that is good. There is time when brothers and sisters can have a good time of talking and even a time of rebuke and exhortation where iron sharpens iron. But this is not what was going on in the Corinthian church. They were coming in and they had angry disagreements with each other. They were fighting with each other so much they began to pick sides in the church. Again, Paul talks about those sides, right? I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas or Peter. I am of Christ. They all had their own little party divisions within the church, those people whom they followed, and they would bicker and fight with each other about who was better and about what thing was right. And Paul says, listen, you guys are coming together and you're a divided group of people. He says, I can't praise you in this. It's wrong. But not only were they coming together and divided spiritually into these different factions and groups, but we also see here in this context, they were divided socially. In verse 21, we see that those who were wealthy brought their food and selfishly ate it before the poor members arrived. You know, we do things a little bit differently today, but in the early church, what the pattern of the early church was, is when they met together on the first day of the week. They'd have their time of prayer and worship and all that, but they also had a time of fellowship, a meal, every week. And they would come together for this meal. The Bible talks about this in a couple different places. Jude calls it Feast of Charity. So sometimes you'll hear the idea of a love feast. If you ever hear that, that's what the fellowship meal was called. When they came together for their love feast or their feast of charity, there was selfishness going on. What was primarily going on in the Corinthian church is the wealthy people would bring their food and they'd hurry up and eat it before the poorer people got there. Paul says that's wrong. Again, this fellowship meal naturally led into the Lord's Supper. So they'd have their potluck, and then right after their potluck, they go right into the Lord's Supper. Again, the idea of fellowship is a big meaning behind the Lord's Supper itself. So the fellowship that they had with each other, they moved it into the fellowship that they all had with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were coming to this fellowship time very selfish. Some were even coming gluttonous. They were just pigging out at the meal, eating all the food. Other people were coming, and there was nothing for them to eat. And that's why Paul says, listen, if you're hungry, stay at home. Okay? This time of the fellowship meal is not necessarily to gorge ourselves and to fill our appetites. It's for the fellowship. It's to show the oneness and unity that we have with each other. But he says, you're breaking that all apart by coming and eating your food, and there's none left for the others. And those that do eat the food, they eat all the food, and some of them are gluttonous, and some of them are even drunk by the time they got to the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, by that time, that is not the Lord's Supper. He says, you might be partaking of the elements. You might be eating the food, but you are not partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper shows a oneness and a unity, and you're dividing that up. The wealthy were against the poor. No doubt that made the poor jealous and angry against the wealthy. This is what was going on in the Corinthian church. Again, this time of love and oneness had become a time of strife and division. The poor believers came to the supper expecting to share in the food brought by the wealthy. But when they arrived, those that had brought the food had already eaten and gorged themselves. They mocked the very purpose of the occasion. And what was the purpose of that fellowship meal? To show oneness and unity. And it is also one of the purposes for why we eat the Lord's Supper together. You know, we don't eat the Lord's Supper singularly. I don't come to your house and give you the Lord's Supper by yourself. Because the Lord's Supper is a unifying thing the church does as a whole. It shows our oneness and unity in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul touched on this a chapter before. Go back to chapter 10. Verse 16 and 17. Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This is where we get the word that we call it communion. It's from this verse right here. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Here it is, verse 17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So this is what Paul is saying. When you and I got saved, we became one with Christ. We understand that spiritual truth. But by extension of that, Paul says this, we became one with each other. We're part of the same body. And partaking of the Lord's Supper together shows that oneness that we have with each other. And again, we show that oneness when we do what? We share the bread and the cup. Now again, we do things a little bit differently today because our culture is a little bit more about germs and things of that nature. But they literally had one cup and one bread. And they'd pass the cup and they'd pass the bread. Now, we've taken the one cup and divided it into smaller cups, and I've taken the one bread and broke it into smaller breads. But the point still remains. There's one cup, and there is one bread. And yes, those picture the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul says, we are the bread too. We are all of one bread. Why? Because we are partaking of the one bread, which makes us part of Him and part of each other. So this time where we come together is not only a time where we remember the Lord, and we'll look at that in a second, but it's a time that it shows our love and oneness and unity with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. So before Paul teaches about the Lord's Supper and what it means, he confronts the selfishness and gluttony of those who were stuffing themselves and even getting drunk at the fellowship meal before coming to the Lord's table. Paul says that's not how you come. If you're coming just to eat, stay at home. When you do come together, what does Paul say at the end, verse 33? Tarry for one another. Why? Wait till everyone arrives before you eat the food. You can hold on to your appetite for a little bit. If you're just coming to eat, eat at home. Okay? If you're that hungry, eat a little bit at home. Then come, and then wait for everybody to come. So everyone's there, and we can show that unity and oneness that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we do things differently today. We don't have a fellowship meal before we partake of the Lord's Supper. But I believe the same principle should be true for us as well. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we should come with love for each other. Which means this, to the best of our ability, we should seek to be right with others before we come to the Lord's Supper. Now I realize that some relational conflicts take time to resolve. But again, to the best of our ability, we should seek to be right with others before we come to the Lord's Supper. Look with me at the words of Jesus in Matthew 5. It's interesting what Jesus teaches here, and no doubt there's a great applicable truth as we look at the Lord's Supper. But Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5. I'll begin reading verse number 23. Jesus says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Now again, did you get the words of Jesus? Jesus wants us to be reconciled with each other before we worship God. Otherwise, according to Jesus, you're just a religious hypocrite. Here's my question for us today, and I want us all to be honest. How many of us, when we come to the Lord's Supper, come as religious hypocrites? The Lord's Supper shows that we have a oneness and a unity and a love for one another. But yet we partake and we have strife and division and bitterness in our hearts. Friend, you're no better than a religious hypocrite. According to Paul, that is not the Lord's Supper. You might be eating the bread and you might be drinking the cup, but you are not partaking in the Lord's Supper, because that is not what it is. The Lord's Supper is a time where we show the love that we have for each other. That means if you need to get something right with somebody, then you ought to get it right with them. We always have a time of prayer before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Normally it's a few minutes. Why do I do that? So you can get things right if you need to. Let's not be so proud that we can't get up and go to our brother and sister and say, "I'm sorry. Can I pray with you?" Perhaps a husband and a wife need to pray with each other before they eat and say, "This last week it was bad." Don't take the Lord's Supper and not be right with your fellow brother and sister in Christ. You might be taking and eating, but you're not really partaking. You're actually mocking the very thing that it stands for. Paul says, listen, come, but come with love. Let's not be religious hypocrites. "Oh, I love the Lord and what he did for me. I hate so-and-so." That's religion. Religion kills. It's fake. It's not even real. You want to really take the Lord's Supper? Get those things right. Humble yourself and go and make those things right with whomever. Paul says if you don't do that, you got this animosity in your heart, you don't have love for your Christian brothers and sisters, Paul says this, "Ye have come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now that's pretty strong. Paul says, rather than coming to church, coming together, forming the assembly for the better, you've actually made it worse. That's some really strong statement for maybe anyone to make. If I was a pastor, say, yeah, come, let's come together, and this was horrible. Okay, that's what Paul says. And you say, you've come together not for the better. You've actually made it worse. Your selfishness and your pride and your arrogancy and your prejudice and your animosity toward one another. This is not the Lord's Supper. Get those things right. Come to the supper with love. Because that's what we show when we all partake of the one bread in the one cup. So not only should we come often, not only should we come with love for others, the main reason that we focus on a lot, verse 23 through 26, we should come to the Lord's Supper with remembrance of the Lord. I like what the Bible says, or Jesus says, in verses 24 and 25 when Paul quotes the words of Jesus. He says, this do in remembrance of my death. He says, of me. Again, verse 25. Do this in remembrance of my death. Of me. Now we'll talk about the substitutionary death because that is one of the things that we remember. But I want to leave it broad just like the Lord Jesus did. We come to the Lord's Supper to remember Jesus himself. It's sad to say, but I think if we were honest with ourselves, many of us would have to say that we forget about Jesus far too often in our life. You say, Pastor, there's no way. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I remember him. How much did you remember him yesterday? What about this past week? What about this month? It seems the person that we say we revere the most is the one we think about the less. And I'm not saying we're busy, and I'm not saying it's wrong to remember our family and our friends. But how about we remember Christ? If I asked you how many times did you think about your kids or your spouse this last week, probably many of you would say a lot. If I asked you why, you'd probably say something to this effect, because they're my life. That's true. But it's interesting what the apostle says in Colossians 3:4. He says, Christ, who is our life. If Christ is our life, we will remember him, just like we remember our family, our kids. They're my life. But Paul says, above all of that, Christ, who is our life. Our life as a Christian should be all about our Savior. But so often we forget him. And no doubt, this is why we come to the Lord's Supper often, to help us remember, to refocus us back to our Savior, who is our life. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember me. But secondly, as we look at verses 24 and 25, we should remember the substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord. Again, this is seen in the elements, the bread and the cup. Again, we know that these are symbolic references to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we partake of these elements, they remind us that Christ's body was broken and that his blood was shed for us. And it gives us again that renewed picture that you and I were sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. But Christ, who loved us so much, who is rich in mercy and rich in grace, came down and took our place with his body and his blood. And because of his death, we don't have to die if we put our faith in him. And this is what we remember when we partake of these elements, that Christ's body and Christ's blood was substituted for ours. I like how the Apostle Peter says it in 1 Peter 2:24. He says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ, But we remember what he did for us and that he took our place on Calvary's cross. There's a song, and I don't know why we don't sing it. It's probably not in our songbook, and maybe nobody knows it too much. I like it, though. It says this: I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And that's what we remember. Christ shed his blood. Christ allowed his body to be bruised for us. He took our place so that we did not have to pay the penalty for sin. But thirdly and lastly, I like this one as well, verse 26. We should remember that Jesus is coming again. Notice what Paul says, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Often we come to the Lord's Supper and we remember to the past. And that's not wrong. That's what we're supposed to do. We remember our Savior. We remember what he did for us on Calvary's cross. And that motivates us to love him and worship him. But Paul says this: when you do that, you're showing his death until he comes back again. And that's a forward-looking approach that we have when we come to the Lord's Supper. Not only do we look to the past, but we look to the future. And that one day, he's coming back for us again. I like the words of Jesus in John 14, 2 and 3, when he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The truth is, when we look at the Lord's Supper, is not only do we remember that Christ died for us, but we remember that he's coming back for us again someday. I like what Christ did with his disciples at the institution of the Lord's Supper, there at the Last Supper in the upper room. We talked about the different cups. I'm not going to get into the different cups again. But right there at the end, he says this: "I'm not going to drink this last cup, because when I come back, I'll drink it anew with you." Again, that truth he was giving his disciples is, yes, remember me. Yes, remember at that time what I'm about to do, and for us what he has done. But don't forget that Jesus Christ is coming back again someday. This is what the Lord's Supper reminds us. Christ is coming again. Lastly, verses 27 through 32. We should come to the Lord's Supper with examination of ourselves. I'm not going to read all of these verses again, but essentially the apostle says that many of the Corinthians were suffering sickness and even death because they were coming to the Lord's Supper in the relationally unloving, irreverent, and self-centered manner that he had already described in verses 18 through 22. And because they were coming to the Lord's Supper in that fashion, they were receiving divine discipline. If they wanted to avoid that discipline, Paul gives them the prerequisite for coming to the Lord's Supper in verse 28. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Again, I believe the meaning may have been just a little bit different back in this day because of their fellowship meal. Again, they would have been at their houses. And Paul says, before you come, examine yourself. Don't come to the fellowship meal and then also right after that the Lord's Supper with selfishness in your heart. Don't come early and eat all the food because you're prejudiced against somebody. Don't do any of that. Examine yourself. Make sure you're right. And then come and share the food and share the bread and the cup with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I think there's still an applicable truth for us today. Before we come to the Lord's Supper, let us examine ourselves. And we always say just a few minutes. It's a time for us to pray and examine ourselves. And if the Lord shows us something, then we get those things right. I'm going to go make it right with so-and-so, or I'm going to confess this sin and make it right with the Lord. Again, we're not going to be perfect. Sometimes we take the word unworthily and think, well, I'm unworthy, so I'm not. We're all unworthy, but Jesus Christ saved us, has made us worthy. But the point is that we can still be sinners, and as much as possible, and to the best of our ability, we look at ourselves and say, am I relationally right first and foremost with my God, and secondly, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Again, this is why we always take a few minutes before we partake of the Lord's Supper. I ask you a few questions here. How do you view the Lord's Supper? Do you take it seriously? Do you take it with joy in your heart for what the Lord has done for you? Or is it just some empty ritual you do? Again, back to the Corinthian church, their fellowship meal and Lord's Supper, many of them viewed it as a party. Yeah, let's just go and have fun. Paul says, no. It's a time for fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and then it's also a time of communion with your God that you can have because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some seriousness there. It's not just some fun party. Let's go and eat and get drunk. That's what the Corinthians were doing. And we don't do all of that, but still there should be a measure of seriousness in what we do. This is about our Lord and our Savior. How do you view your brothers and sisters in Christ? Again, in the Corinthian church, many had little regard and could care less. Oh, they don't have food? Too bad. I'll eat my own food. And now let's share the bread and cup together. Paul said, no, that's wrong. How do you view your brothers and sisters? Do you have aught against them? Are you holding on to strife and bitterness? Or as the Bible teaches, do you come with genuine love for the brethren? No doubt this is why Paul says, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So how should we come to the Lord's Supper? How should we come today and partake of the Lord's Supper? First, we should do it often. Whatever that means for a particular church, it should be often though. Not rarely, but often. We should come with love for each other. Get rid of your animosity, get rid of your strife and your bitterness. Come with love. We should come to remember our Lord. This is mainly what this is about with the bread and the cup, to remember the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ for us. And we should come with examination of ourselves. If we do such, then this is the Lord's Supper. If you don't, then Paul says this is not the Lord's Supper. You may be eating, you may be drinking, but it is not the Lord's Supper. And on a stronger note, Paul says, you eat and you drink damnation to yourself. Some are sick, some are dead, because they do not come to the Lord's table properly. May the Lord help us to do that today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.